Thank you. Absolutely beautiful. Our gospel reading, we've got two gospel readings this morning, both from the Gospel of John. And the second gospel reading is from John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 15. And it's Jesus' image of the vine and the branches. Listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. This is my command: love one another." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to finish the series on Jesus, who do you say that I am, with this Jesus' two sayings: I am the bread of life, and Jesus saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. But first I want to start with something a little humor. I heard about this pastor, and he received this note, a thank you note, from a member of his congregation, and a woman who was telling how great his preaching was in this note and compared him with Billy Graham, and she finished by writing, "I think you're one of the really great preachers of all time." Well, the pastor was all enthusiastic about that, and later that day he showed that card to his wife, and she asked, "Well, who is this woman?" He replied, "She's a very intelligent woman in the congregation who loves great preaching." And so then he turned to his wife and said, "How many truly great preachers do you think there are in the world?" She looked at him and said, "One less than you think." Oh, that doesn't fly too much this morning, but who do you think you are? I mean, sometimes we're fooled, or maybe we exaggerate ourselves. And who we are sometimes is part of who we are with and sort of our family of faith. And this morning we're finishing up the series with Jesus, who do you say that I am? And Jesus' imagery about helping us to understand who he is and to follow his ways. And we've been through a number of different things about Jesus. One, that he was a friend of sinners, and that he was a coming king. We talked about on Easter that Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life. And then finally last week we talked about Jesus saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And this morning we're looking at Jesus, two of his sayings. He used two gospel readings this morning. There's nothing wrong with that. The first is, "I am the bread of life," and the second is, "I am the vine." And to sort of walk through that, and I think it's really appropriate imagery because we have a chance to come around the Lord's table this morning and celebrate around the Lord's table Holy Communion. And so the first one is, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now, I don't know what bread means to you, but for me, like, our biggest meal of the week was Sunday afternoon, right after church. We call it Sunday dinner. I think that's kind of a German tradition of calling Sunday your biggest meal of the day, the dinner, even though it's the middle of the day. But if it's Sunday dinner, my mom would often put something in the oven, a roast or something. And it, when we got home from church, the last thing that she did was to put in buns in the oven and make fresh biscuits or hot cross buns, or maybe there was fresh bread that was going to be completed that she had done Saturday evening. But the last thing I remember about getting ready for dinner with that smell of fresh bread, or maybe for you it's around the Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner, and the last thing before the meal, there's all those great smells from meal, but then there's that smell of fresh bread, and there's something about it. Now, I'm not a maker of bread, but I did finally go out and buy one of those bread makers, and because I can't go through the whole thing, but I really like the smell of bread. I mean, And I'm not, it's not like mom's homemade bread. My mom doesn't make bread anymore anyway. But I love the smell of that. So I'll put the bread in the bread maker, and just for a couple hours, it just smells great. It smells like someone's cooking for you or something. But there's something about that. And you know, every culture has bread throughout the world. There might be some little differences, but bread is a universal staple of the human race. And it's been that way, so probably for all of time. And there's simple ingredients, but it's just sort of a powerful staple. And some people do live on bread and water, and that's certainly subsistence living, but there's a sustaining quality for bread, and there's a universal quality to it. And so Jesus uses this experience, and he's going to talk about bread, but there's a couple of other things about bread before we sort of dive into Jesus saying itself. And the first is that the bread was also, for the Israelites, part of the Passover meal. So when they first celebrated the Passover, just before they were freed from Egypt, from slavery, God commanded that they celebrate the Seder meal as part of the Passover. And for you, those of you who experienced that on the Wednesday of Holy Week that we did, there's some really interesting imagery. You can't go into all of it, but one thing was that bread was a part of it. It was unleavened bread, and there was actually three pieces of bread in the middle part of the table. And for Christians, we think of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Interestingly, that middle piece of bread is broken. Part of it is hidden, symbolizing the coming Messiah, and the hidden part of the coming Messiah. And one is left there, and then at the end of that meal, that piece of bread is found by the youngest children in the house. They sort of go out and they give a little prize. But that piece of bread, we believe that Jesus took that piece of bread, quite possibly, and it was that piece of bread that symbolized the Messiah, and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And there's also the imagery in the wilderness. When the Israelites were there, they were starving out in the middle of the desert. You can imagine they had all this sort of opulence and the bountiful blessings of Egypt, which is a very fruitful land around the Nile, and during that time in particular. And so then they're in the desert, and they don't have anything to eat. So they complained to Moses, and God provided manna in the wilderness. For 40 years, while they wandered in the wilderness every day, there'd be fresh manna in the wilderness, this kind of heavenly bread that tastes sort of like honey. And then on Friday, there would be 2 days worth, so they had some for Saturday. They celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday. And then finally in the Old Testament, I don't know if you're an Old Testament trivia scholar, but here's a little question for you. But the question is this: do you know what was on in the Holy Holy? So you're in the temple, you have these three areas going to Holy, 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 and then sort of Holy, Holy, Holy. In that part of the tabernacle on the altar, does anyone know what was on the altar? Think about it for a minute. There were some different things, but it's called the bread of the presence. And the King James calls it the show bread, but the literal translation is the presence bread, or the bread of the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, as in presence, God's presence there. To symbolize that, there were 12 loaves of the bread of the presence there, baked fresh every week on the Sabbath. They're put out fresh on the Sabbath for the entire week, and only the priest could have some of that. It was left on there, and it was coated with an aroma, and said it was pleasing to God, and it symbolized the people being able, through the priest, to be in the presence of God and to share in a meal with God, which meant to share in the life of God. When you share bread together, you share in life together, the meal together. And so, with that as the backdrop and imagery, as Jesus comes into this miracle where Jesus is out teaching, and there's about 5,000 people there. And they didn't make preparations, and Jesus' teaching probably went on longer than they thought. So, a little lesson for all of you, if I go a little longer today. Well, Jesus did that, and then people found out we didn't have food, and it wasn't a McDonald's, it wasn't a Dairy Queen or anything like that. Bob Evans or any of those kinds of things. So all of a sudden they realize that they're famished. They were in trance, and all of a sudden they're hungry. And Jesus asked the disciples to go out and to find some food, to see what's in the crowd that they could share. And the only thing they could find, Philip came back and said, "We found a little boy, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he blessed them and told the disciples to put it in the basket and to begin to disperse that. And as they did, all the crowd was filled, and there were 12 baskets left over. So it was pretty amazing, amazing miracle. And it's with that backdrop that Don read that scripture this morning. And Jesus, after that miracle, during the night, had crossed over the sea, and he went to the city of Capernaum. And the crowds wanted to find out where he was, so some of the people found him. And then it was with that they came to Jesus, and they began to question him. And some of the people came, and their priorities were misplaced, it's clear. And Jesus, they started to focus on the material, and Jesus looked at them as if they were just sort of wanted a handout. And Jesus looked at him and said, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then there were some people who were more about the law, and they asked Jesus, well, they said, what must we do to do the works that God requires? So they picked up on what Jesus says, and Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who was sent. And so Jesus is sort of turning that around for the people who are looking for the things that are just earthly, the things that are temporal and sort of the flesh. And finally, there were people that seemed to be looking just for a miraculous sign. I mean, even today, some people like a spectacular show, whatever that sort of. They said this, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see and believe in you? What will you do? In other words, you know, can you beat this miracle that you gave us? And they said, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, the imagery there is that you know, with that, they received manna for 40 years. Maybe they were looking for the next 40 years worth of miracle. But we have to remember that as soon as the people started to enter the promised land, the miracle of the manna every day stopped. And so Jesus looks at them, and it's with it, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And he just sort of stops the whole thing. And when you look at that, we look at what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the bread of life, or I am the bread of heaven. I think a number of things. First is Jesus is revealing the nature of God himself. He's saying that he is God. And throughout the Gospel of John, there's these I am statements of Jesus that really reveal his nature. And I mentioned last week that when Moses went to the burning bush and asked God who he was, so he could tell the people of Israel as they were being delivered from Egypt, God said, I'm Jehovah or Yahweh, which means I am who I am. In other words, I will reveal who I am along the way. And Jesus uses these statements, these I am statements, to reveal that he is really God in human form. And so he says, I am the bread of life. And with that, he also says that he's the only one who can really satisfy the deep hunger of our hearts. Now, all of us, whether it's Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner or just our daily dinner or Sunday dinner, you know, we're satisfied for a little while. But when it comes to our earthly bodies, we're going to get hungry. Maybe it's 2 or 3 hours. Maybe it's the next day. But Jesus says there's a spiritual hunger that's deep within us. And that spiritual hunger can only be filled by Jesus himself, who came and forgave us. And through Jesus, we know forgiveness and eternal life. And finally, it's really that life-giving source that Jesus gives us each and every day. With that also, then, think for a moment about, that's the first time that Jesus uses the I am statement in John. The last time that Jesus uses the I am statement is when he says, I am the vine. And so in between there's a number of revelations that Jesus gives, and I'll just sort of say, you know quickly who they are. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, and then he went on to say, I'm the light of the world. You probably remember that. I am the gate, so the gate that goes in and out for the shepherd. And he also said, I'm the good shepherd, the resurrection of life, and the way, the truth, the life that we looked at before. In this time, in this instance, Jesus has just celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And as they probably left that area of the upper room and headed out towards the Mount of Olives, on the way would have been the temple. Now, interestingly enough, over top of the temple entrance, there was a golden vine with grapes on it. As a symbol, it was gold leaves and gold grapes, and it was very ornate. One of the most striking things about the entrance to the temple that Josephus writes about, and other people write about. And then Jesus probably even passed right by there with the disciples. And Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Now that symbol of the vine over that entrance to the temple was symbolized that Israel often talked about as God's vine, and God is the vine dresser, and even time is sort of the empty vine. And so in this way, as Jesus comes into this moment and says, I am the vine, it means a lot of things. And one thing as we think about, to sort of go back to that Seder meal for a moment, is around that Seder meal they celebrated before the deliverance from Egypt, and they celebrate every year after that, remind them about God's deliverance from Egypt and look forward to the Messiah. There were five cups and there were four toasts, and different to life and to peace and, you know, to promise and to praise. But the one cup that was there was the cup for the Messiah, and specifically for the Messiah. And that cup was never touched. And it's just about the promise of the Messiah, look forward to the Messiah. And we think that Jesus took that cup and said, this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, and shared that with them. Now, it doesn't have to be that cup, but it's interesting that that's quite possibly the case. And so when you think about that, Jesus probably had that moment, had just shared that cup with the disciples, and then looks at the disciples and says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you'll know life, that sustaining life. And so he uses the two things. He's to abide, which means to stay connected, and to obey. Now, we like the abide better than the obey. But the relationship with the two, I think, is this. If we abide in Jesus and remain in him and stay sustained by him, then it's easy to obey. We have the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives, and we are with him as friends of God. What an incredible invitation. Jesus said, you're my friends, and if you abide and remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. And we don't have to try to bear fruit any more than like a vine or a grapevine or a pumpkin vine has to try to bear fruit. But if we abide in Jesus, then we'll really bear fruit. George Whitfield was a great evangelist and revivalist back in the 1700s in this country. And he used to preach to thousands of people, and people would get saved. And after one time, he was outside, and people asked George Whitfield how many people were saved the next day. And George Whitfield said, I don't know. We'll know in 5 years. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? In other words, sometimes people get caught up in the sensationalism or the materialism or what everybody else is doing, but you really know how much people really follow in 5 years from now. Well, as we gather around this table this morning and think about Jesus' sustaining power to us, we think about Jesus as the bread of life. He's the one who gives us the thing that God can give us, which is the eternal life. And we think about Jesus as the vine and we are the branches. And I just think about that image as we come around the table this morning. You know, in World War II, there was a time when over in Europe that the GIs found a number of orphans and put them into this camp to take care of them. And they hadn't had enough food. They were starving. But every day, the GIs would make sure they had enough food, but the children couldn't sleep at night. And they brought in a psychologist to the camp to sort of analyze why these children couldn't sleep, and they realized that the children were afraid that they were hungry and they wouldn't have enough to eat, even though every day the GIs were making sure they had enough to eat. And the solution, they said, was to give each child a piece of bread that they could sleep with that night. And you know, that cured them. They were able to sleep peacefully knowing that if they had that bread and that will sustain them and that they would be provided for. And in a way, I think that image is helpful for us as God's children to know that, you know, Jesus is there. And sometimes we've been through difficulties and we think, gee, we weren't going to make it, but we can hang on to Jesus and know that God is going to give us whatever we need each and every day of our life and see us through, and God is going to sustain us. And Jesus is that bread of eternal life, and Jesus is also the vine. If we just stay connected to him, then he'll get us through all of life. There's one last I am statement. It's not in the Gospel of John. It's in the Revelation of John. And Jesus sort of closes that out, and the risen Lord appears to John. And he's on the Isle of Patmos, and John writes this down, and Jesus appears to him and said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am the risen one, and I am coming again. And he says, it is finished. That Jesus accomplished everything, and that's the last I am statement. And you and I can know that statement in reality if you and I will just abide with Jesus each and every day and seek his sustaining power. Would you join me in prayer and as we gather around the Lord's table? Gracious Lord, help us to come before your table this day, knowing that you are the sustaining power for all of life. You are the bread of life, only life that brings us eternal life. And you are the vine and we are the branches. And if we abide in you and stay connected to you, then you will give us all the life that we need each and every day to face all the challenges, mountains and valleys of life, and joys and sorrows, whatever life may bring us. Thank you for your great gift of your life that you share with us through your power and to your glory. Amen.